the web at spirit1400.com.
Spirit 1400, the spirit of today's gospel.
The spirit of today's gospel.
The following is a paid program. The views and opinions expressed are those of the program sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Spirit 1400 and its management.
Good afternoon, Baltimore, and welcome to the to the Truth in Love radio show that is brought to you by the church that meets at 2 Eastern Street in Glen Burnie, Maryland. We are so happy to have you here to join us today, and we want to talk about what the Lord's Word says. We're not going to give you opinion. We're going to go to book, chapter, and verse and answer, give Bible answers to your Bible questions. The number to call in is 410-481-1400. That's 410-481-1400. You can call in and you can come on the air and discuss your question with us, or you can leave your question or questions with Cindy, who is working the phones, and she will get them to us, and we will answer them on air. Again, that number is 410-481-1400. We encourage you to call early, as we typically find that calls come in bulk towards the end of the show. Now, if you are not where you can get to, where you can actually call and speak, or if you think of a question between now and if Lord willing, we have it next week, if the Lord gives us that much time, and you want to send us a question, we also have a Twitter account, and you can send your questions to us that way throughout the week. And our Twitter handle is, Truth, the letter N, Love Radio. Truth in Love Radio. And you can tweet your questions at us. Tweet it at the at symbol. Truth WWIN Radio. And we'll take your questions throughout the week and pull them together and have them ready for the next time. Again, the number is 410-481-1400. And we also have some resources that we encourage you to take advantage of. One being our website, which is GB, as in Glen Burnie, GBChurchOfChrist.com. And there are all kinds of wonderful resources that have been prepared in advance. You don't have to pull together a thing, just hop on the website. Look at past lessons. Look at PowerPoints. Be able to click and find different kinds of resources that would be good study guides that you could study on your own. If you hear something that piques your interest from the discussion today, then check out the website. See what we have on that and study it. We also offer correspondence courses. And I really encourage you to take advantage of this. The correspondence courses are absolutely free. We do not think you should have to pay to learn about the Bible. The Bible correspondence courses, you can call and get those at 410-761-3795. Again, that number is 410-761-3795. And you can call in and get those. And the good thing about these correspondence courses is they are very focused. We have a whole slew of topics that you can choose from. I recommend that you start off with, how do I know I'm attending the right church? How do I pick the right church? That's one topic. Another might be how the Holy Spirit works. Another might be instrumental music. Another might be women's role in the church. Another might be tithing. There's so many topics there we have, and they're focus studies. And they take you through systematically a systematic focus study about what the Bible has to say about that. And it's not just picking a verse here and there. You know, the Bible works like a four-part harmony song, you know? You have a little, you know, the bass might say, the bass has in a four-part harmony, a bass has one melody and rhythm, tenor, alto, also soprano as well, but they all work in unison and achieve the overall sound. And in the Bible, you have different places that say, well, you know, this is an aspect of how you're saved, or this is an aspect of how you're saved. Well, are they contradicting each other? No. They work together in harmony. So our correspondence courses are set up to take you through that. You can do a systematic study, and it's totally free. We'll send you the study. We'll send you the correspondence course in a self-addressed envelope. You fill it out, send it back to us. no cost to you. And the next week, you'll get another one in the mail. That number is 410-761-3795. Again, we'd love to get your questions from you today. And that number here at the radio station to call us to give us your questions are 410-481-1400.
You know, we know it's a beautiful Saturday out there, beautiful weather that is going to come to a screeching halt later on this evening. But besides that, we hope that you are interested in knowing what thus saith the Lord. You know, a lot of people during the week, they have discussions concerning God's word. You probably have discussions concerning the things that we say on this program. But what we say and what we do according to God's holy and blessed word. You know, I ran into a brother in Christ the other day, and it irks me when they try to hide behind the word love to keep from doing those things that they find distasteful to them. Most people find it distasteful to withdraw from a brother unless they're following behind another man. A brother wanted me to go into a place where they've already let me know that they don't care about the word of God. And he said that I should teach these brothers and sisters. Well, God was explicit. Jesus was explicit in addressing these types of situations in Matthew 15 and verse 6, it says, verse 7, he says, "You hypocrites, well did Esaias prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." In other words, they knew that they were doing wrong, but they chose to do wrong. And they knew that they were teaching doctrines that are the commandments of men. When you have already challenged people like that and they refuse to listen to you, in fact, they become angry toward you, God gives you a way out. In the same chapter, he tells us in verse 14, well, beginning in verse 13, so every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. He's talking about those congregations that are passing themselves off as churches of Christ. Now, I've encountered Christians who make that particular passage applicable to the denominations. But God has not planted the denominations. He plants churches of Christ with choose to go astray. In the 14th verse, he says, "Now this is a commandment to me. This is a commandment to everyone who knows the word of God and who has attempted to lead people back on the proper path." He says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." If people don't want to be saved or they don't want salvation, you can't force them. In fact, there's a strong possibility that if you continue to try to interact with them, that you may stop seeing their ways as being bad ways. And once they stop, they lose their ugliness and become appealing to them, then they become acceptable to you. And we cannot take that chance. We a young lady called my wife, and these subjects continue to come up in churches of Christ that are not properly set up. She wanted to know about marriage and divorce, where it applies to elders and deacons. They got a lot of congregations out there that don't have elders and deacons, and they say the reason they don't have it is because a lot of the men have been divorced. And God does not allow that. Well, they can't read that anywhere in the scriptures. That is a concoction of man's to keep the congregation from being set up like Christ ordered it to be set up. And therefore, when they do that, it is not Christ's church. It is man's church, and Christ is not dwelling there. And if you are worshiping in a place like that, and you do not speak out against it, you do not try the Spirit as God ordered in 1 John 4:1, then you are not doing your job. You are expressing fear. And fear, according to Revelation 21:8, it's a sin, and it will take you to eternal damnation, just like all the other sins. Then another thing that was brought up was the this tradition that the churches of Christ have picked up of placing membership. They want members that who have come from another congregation to go before the congregation and verbally say that they are placing membership. Well, that is just wrong if they are binding this upon their members. Now, if a person wants to do that of their own volition, that's okay. But nowhere in the Bible, in the New Testament, is that illustrated or encouraged? These types of things usually take on a life of their own, and other things grow from it. Just like the feeding, having meals in the congregation. You know, they have what they call fellowship meals, and the Bible addresses that too in 1 Corinthians 11. When you start having fellowship meals, that you have people, and I've witnessed this, you have certain people who have respect of person, and they usually eat first. They'll get the best of the victuals, and the rest they get what's left. And people don't see anything wrong with this. Well, the Bible doesn't encourage this. In 1 Corinthians, let's go to, I'm trying to find the proper verse here now. Am I in 11? Give me a second, because I skipped to this, without studying it. We have, help me it. Okay. We'll come back to that, because I have the chapter. I'm in 1 Corinthians. Oh, that's why I was in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll begin at verse 19. He says, for there must be, verse 20, and when you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? Now this I have seen. And he says, what shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And whenever this is pointed out to people who do this, I either get a cold shoulder, or they tell me they're doing a good work, and since everybody is eating, so be it. And that is not the purpose. We are told in John 4:24 that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means the right attitude, spirit, and according to his word. not according to how you feel. Proverbs 14:12, the Bible tells us there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Again, the number here at the station is 410-481-1400, 410-481-1400. It's an awfully beautiful day today, and I know we've got some cold weather coming in. Folks are probably out and about trying to enjoy what little sunshine they can get before old man winter comes back in. But give us your calls, 410-481-1400. Phones are kind of quiet. We got two questions that we have here. One is left over from last week and one that just came in. I'll address the one from last week. Caller last week basically sent this statement in, and the caller referred to Ephesians chapter 6, 9 through 17, and said, women are also in the army of God. Women are also in the army of God. Yes, that is a true statement. We see in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, when Jesus is giving the Great Commission, he tells the disciples that they are to go out, and they are to baptize everyone in the name of the Father, Holy Spirit, and to teach, they are to teach, and then they are to baptize, and then they are to teach the people they have baptized, which would be men and women, to do likewise and teach others. So we all have a responsibility. One of our brothers who is no longer attending in the area and has moved away, he liked to say, just because you're a woman doesn't mean you get off the hook. You've got a responsibility as well. So we are to teach others, yes, and women have that role of teaching. And we see in Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 16, that women are listed by Paul as being good and faithful servants, key members in the congregation there. And we also have examples in Acts of Aquila and Priscilla as a husband and wife team that come together to teach people. But with that being said, there is a time and a place, and the Bible outlines when and where people have what roles. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul points out to a young evangelist, Timothy, who is helping to evangelize and spread the word throughout the Mediterranean area there and is setting up churches. He says, I'm telling you these things so people will know how to act when they come together in the house of the Lord. And you come together, we find, as Larry pointed out in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 there, we're coming together for the communion and to commemorate the Lord's death. So when we come together as a church, how are we supposed to act? Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, Paul outlines that a woman must be quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. I do not allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. So we see that he outlines that when we come together on the first day of the week, that Sunday, to worship together, then in that case, the men are to lead. We also see in chapter 2, verse 8, that Paul sets up saying that he wants the men to lead, raise hands in giving of prayer everywhere. So we take this back to the original statement that the caller brought in, which was based on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 9 through 17, women are in the Lord's army. Yes, they are. But jump back a chapter to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24. And when we pair that with what Paul has written also in Timothy, and what he has to say about men leading prayers and lifting up the hands and giving of prayers, we also find in chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, and it goes on through chapter 6, and basically Paul outlines relationships from the family down to the children and also the household servants, which would be applicable today to people who are working for bosses and things like that, the relationships. And he outlines in that, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is being the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. God wants men to lead. And he's not being a sexist, although he has the right to set up whatever he wants to because he's created us. But God wanted men to lead, and he has this example. He talks about it in Ephesians, how the husband is to be, as Christ is the head of the church, husband is the head of the family. So in this particular case, we also have in Timothy where the men are to lead and the women are to follow within the congregation when it comes together. But we all have the responsibility to teach others.
Again, the number here is 410-481-1400, and we have Yvonne on the line. Hello, Yvonne. You're on the air.
I praise the Lord, and thank you. I'm actually in agreement with what you were speaking of when you were saying that the congregations come together sometime to have a meal. But what I need some clarity on, if you actually want to bring the seniors together, because I know loneliness is not good, and if they only do it once a month, and it's not a paid thing where they just, where you're supplying the food for them, and you're not showing favoritism, or you're not showing disrespect, is that acceptable? Or what does God's word say on that?
Well, his word is emphatic in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, as I read. A lot of people do things out of the goodness of their heart, but if it is...
Well, not to interrupt you, but I have to. Mm-hmm. Okay, I must say that this wasn't an idea from myself, because I know what the Word of God says. He says, trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding, but acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your path.
Correct.
And I feel in my spirit that I have been led by the Spirit to do this ministry, but when you spoke that, I just needed clarity to make sure that I'm not listening to myself, but I am hearing the Word of God.
Again, let me give you an example. At a former congregation that I attended, which has gone completely astray, had a sister who made it her duty to every week go around to certain seniors whom she knew could not do for themselves. And she made it a point to take those sisters or those seniors to the market, take them to the laundromat. And she did this thing on her own, and she did not ask for help from anyone. But the congregation was already going astray, and the so-called leadership there, they didn't want her to do this in their name, and she wasn't doing it in their name.
Okay.
They wanted her to bring it under their direction, and she flat out refused to do that. And they were upset with her. And she never asked any money of them. Asked any direction of them. She never used their facilities. She did this upon herself. Now, she was doing what God wanted her to do.
Okay.
They didn't like that. That's how the devil works. So as long as you are not doing it.
Oh, no, this is not my thought. Because God's thoughts is high.
If not doing it
not doing it for respect to person.
No.
I haven't even talked to my pastor.
Okay, well,
because
you're not doing it in reference to the congregation.
Oh, no, that's perfectly fine.
That's what we are supposed to do.
Okay.
We're supposed to
Praise God.
So we find in the beginning of Acts, when you look in those first five chapters there, the beginning of the church, and we see that people were coming together in each other's homes, and they were meeting together, and then they were taking care of the needs of those people who did not have any. And that's good biblical examples, but they were doing it out of the goodness of their heart and not as part of the worship service.
So what
Paul outlines here is when you come together as a congregation to meet officially as a congregation to be able to observe the Lord's sacrifice, the Lord's Supper, as we call it, the communion, which we're instructed to do every first day of the week in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. We do that every Sunday. That is his time, and he outlines specifically in chapter 11 the things that you're not supposed to do. So the good thing here is, it's Well, let me put it this way. Have you ever had the situation where you're working on something? We see it a lot in movies where somebody's got a bomb and they got two wires and they're not sure which one to cut. And they feel like it might be this one, and they start to cut it, and the last minute they stop. Well, if you have an instruction book and you're working on something with electricity, you might feel like you got the intuition that you're going to cut the right one, but the instruction book there, it has it written in black and white which one you should cut and which one you should put in there so you don't just shock yourself to death, right?
Right.
So that's what the Bible is, and that's why we have a Bible, because how many congregations out there do you know that teach things, and when you put them head-to-head, A to A, B of them, they contradict each other.
But see, that's why the Word of God says, not cutting, but that's why the Word of God says you study for self-approval.
Right.
You not for man's
that,
approval.
Study thyself to show thyself approved unto God.
So, right, that's my position,
right,
but
right.
I know that I want to do things decent in order, and God has spoke to my heart very strong on that.
Through his word.
Right, but I do want to be in obedience when I'm doing it. I don't want to step out, and I know that faith is things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. But I don't want to get caught up into my thinking. You see what I'm saying? That's
yes,
what I want to be clear on.
That's a good point, because in Jeremiah, it points out that the heart is deceitful above all things. How many, all you have to do is listen to a good old country music song or a good old R&B song, and we both know this is wrong, but it feels so
goodness.
Right? Yeah. So our heart will tell us something is right when it's not. That's why we have the Word. And so God laid that out. If we want to bring the senior citizens together, or the sick and sick and shut in people together, and take care of them throughout the week, you do that. That's a good thing.
Praise
but
God.
On God's time, when God wants the focus to be on His Son, during that time, we're not to use that as kind of like a special meal. We're to focus on Him, and then the other things that we do outside of the worship, as long as they're compliant with God, Are wonderful things we can do to help others.
Praise God. I want to thank both of you brothers for the encouragement and the word of the truth. I thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Yeah.
And Yvonne, thank you for bringing up the point that you know, what you feel and what you read need to be
lined together
and
yes.
not trusting mm-hmm. your heart over what the Bible says.
Praise
thank you
God.
So much.
All right. You both enjoy your
week.
You also.
All right. Thank you, folks. We got more. I know we got another caller coming in. Again, the number here is 410-481-1400, 410-481-1400. And we have, I believe it's pronounced, is it Elvie? Did I say your name right, Elvie?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Elvie. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Okay.
I'm fine. I heard you mentioning women in ministry, and I'm not listening to you before. So you're saying that the Bible doesn't, the New Testament doesn't support women preaching or teaching in the congregation.
No,
it does not. It does support women teaching other people out. Okay, so we're to come together on the first day of week, Sundays, to have our official worship and observe the death of our Lord, which is the communion. In that gathering where the congregation comes together, Paul outlines, as inspired by the Holy Word, that in that particular case, no. But let's say, for example, let's say you and your wife, or let's say, for example, maybe your daughter, if she's a believer, I'm just using these examples, is out in the community somewhere, and they see something where it's not right. Maybe somebody's teaching something, but they're a little bit off, or maybe they just don't know. It's their duty as a Christian to go over and teach that person, yes. But the context for 1 Timothy is Paul's when we're talking about when we officially come together on Sunday to worship, and that's how God outlined it.
See, and God, He tells us in language that we cannot misunderstand. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 34, He tells us, says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law." Now, a lot of people, when they get angry at that verse, and I haven't heard them Paul accused of this in a long time, but they used to accuse Paul of being a male chauvinist pig, but you know, but they couldn't justify that either. And they try to say that, well, a woman is not supposed to sing. No, all what they were addressing here then were women who were abusing the spiritual gifts that they had received. Some had the gifts of speaking in tongues. Some had the gifts of interpreting. And when I say speaking in tongues, speaking other languages. And they were doing this thing in church, and they were all out of order. They were showing off. So Paul put a stop to it right there. Then he instructed the women in 1 Timothy 2:11. He says, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. This is in church. This is not out another setting, another group setting. This is during the worship service in the church. Now, we also have illustrations.
I was just going to say, in case you people will call in and say, well, that's just Paul's opinion. Well, Paul, if you look in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, the Apostle Peter, confirms that what Paul writes is Scripture, and it is a Scripture to be obeyed. And so this is part of the inspired writing. Why did God set it up that way? It doesn't matter. That's actually, he created us. He was willing to try to redeem us. So whatever laws he's put in place, we're going to obey that. But if we're going to try to find like the practical laws of it, look at how many the stress is on having the men to lead and having responsible men in the families. How many single moms are there out there that are on having to make ends meet because some guy just decided to run out on her? How many times have you seen a deadbeat just sit around home while the poor woman's having to go out there and work herself to death to be able to bring things together? Who are the role models for our sons? God has we talk about things being the tip of the iceberg. When he puts things in place, rest assured, our Lord has put a lot of thought into this. There's multiple reasons why he wants us to do it. But even if there wasn't, if he said, go out there and stand on one leg for 30 minutes, that's not in the scriptures. But if he did say that, and that was in the scriptures, rest assured, I'd be working on my balance right now to do it. So this is what God put into place for that specific thing. He doesn't ask a lot of us, if you look at it truthfully. But in that moment, he does want us to acknowledge the sacrifice that his son has made, and that's how he wants us to do it. So are we going to do what we want to do? Are we going to do what God has written that we should do? And that's what we have to decide.
And, people have, I've heard people use the fact that the majority of a lot of congregations are made up of women, so therefore it's only right that women can be preachers. No, that is not so. God set things in order as he wanted them to be. And because of a lot of congregations, the majority are women, that just means that the men are not doing what they're supposed to. They're not taking the lead as they're supposed to. And one of the problems we have there is that they're not studying as they are supposed to. You can't lead if you don't know how to lead. And God gives us express commandments on what the role of the men are. So, well, we thank you for your call, Elvie, and hopefully you will call back if you have any other questions concerning that subject or any other subject.
And like Larry said, God wants us to study. And so, as I'm turning over here to the verse that I want, so that being said, we have a really good Bible correspondence course that I'd like to bring back up again. Call 410-761-3795, 410-761-3795 to get a correspondence course. It's very focused, and it's an in-depth study. What makes it an in-depth study is because it thoroughly scores through the Bible itself. All right. So, if you look back at Acts chapter 17 and you look in verse 11, it points out, the Bible says that these were more noble-minded, the Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness. But here's the key thing. They didn't just receive it. They examined the scriptures daily. And why did they do it? To see whether the things that were being told to them were so. So people will say, well, you know, I don't like somebody who questions what I tell them. I don't like a skeptic. In some ways, that's not a bad thing, because we need to be all like Missouri, you know, show me. You need to be able, we need to, if somebody's telling me how to get to heaven, I need to see it, and I need to see it clearly outlined, and I need to see it clearly supported throughout the Bible, and it needs to have book, chapter, and verse. So we encourage you to take advantage of these correspondence courses, 410-761-3795, for a correspondence course that is totally free and will be mailed to your door, still self-addressed envelope, doesn't cost you a penny. Now, if you have questions for the radio show, 410-481-1400, 410-481-1400, and I'm afraid that we accidentally cut LV off early. Sorry, sir. Glad to have you back.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I called back. You put me right back on.
Okay.
The thing is that, yeah, I agree with you as far as the Bible not, you know, being the Word of God, not contradicting itself, and whatever Paul wrote was gospel, you know, was inspired. But also, and you started off with 1 Corinthians 14, but earlier in the same letter, 1 Corinthians 11:5, I'm reading from the 20th century New Testament. It doesn't disagree with that. It just makes it a little more clear. While any woman who prays or preaches in public bareheaded dishonors him who is hid, for that is to make herself like one of the shameless women who shave their head. So, and there it plainly says that they pray and preach, and this is in the congregation, this is in the church. And they do that, but they have to do it under some kind of, you know, with their head covered. But right. Go on.
Elvin, this is talking about a different situation here. And that translation you have, they added that word, preacheth.
Actually, prophecy is the word, the Greek word.
What Paul is addressing here is... traditions and customs that the people have, and they're trying to bind them on one another. So not to get in a long drawn out illustration, if you drop down, I don't know what your Bible says, but if you drop down into, well, let's go down to the 11th verse. So, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. You're talking about customs and traditions, not worship service. So, no.
This is done in the service. That's why
this is not done.
Covered.
This is not done in the service.
If you read 2, he's saying that you should keep what I'm telling you. 1 Corinthians 11:2.
Right.
It says,
now, I praise
you,
brethren,
you should keep what I'm telling you.
That you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. That's correct. He's telling them you ought to keep these things.
Yes, and these are part of the ordinance. The ones that 11, even if you read 16, and I'm going to read it in the 11:16 in the Easy English, just to make it a little more clear, but it's the same thing you said.
Okay.
Some people may want to argue about this,
okay,
but I tell you what we do, and all the churches group that's group of Christians do the same when they worship God. This is talking about in the worship service.
Yeah, but that's...
That is that
translation. They added that to that. Not only that, okay, but let's go a little further.
The other translation says in the church, in the churches of God.
In the churches,
you know, I mean,
in the churches of God,
in
right.
In the churches of God.
He's telling us and them that they are not to do these things. These things are not applicable in the worship service. We have no such custom. These are customs that the Corinthians were trying to bind upon other people. But Paul is addressing this. We have no such custom as far as head covering, as far as where the woman's hair is concerned, how long it should be, how short it should be. We have no such custom. In other words, leave this out.
Yes, no, we had no such custom concerning women preaching, prophesying, praying
in
public.
No, yeah, we do.
And we have no custom. They're talking about women, you know, in public, what they can do and how they can do it in the service. That's plain here from 2 and from 16. They're talking about what women can do in the service.
No, he's
not. I know you have scriptures that you believe.
No, wait a minute,
that eliminate that. But
No, what you're doing is taking these things literally and trying to do what they were doing is binding them. No, that is not so. He's not telling them that these are things that they can do in the church. He's explained that down over in 1 Corinthians 14. He's explained that. In fact, throughout...
Isn't this the same letter? This is the same letter. And we're talking about, if he wanted women to be silent, he would have told them right here that, no, I don't want y'all to do anything. You don't have to worry about being covered, veiled, bald, or nothing. Just don't say nothing.
You ignore what I said earlier when I talked about the word silent, that people carry that too far and trying to justify women preachers. They accuse us of saying that a woman can't sing or a woman can't say amen, and that is absolutely not true. I told you what was being addressed in 1 Corinthians 14. He was wait a minute, now don't cut me off. Don't cut me off. This is a give and take.
Now,
he's addressing their misuse of spiritual gifts. This is what he's addressing when he said, let your women keep silence in the churches. He's addressing spiritual gifts, okay? And we are to rightly divide the word. We are not to take one scripture out of context and put it over somewhere else in order to justify something that we want to believe. The scriptures are plain and simple if we rightly divide them.
So, if we take 11, and then we go to 14, then you're saying, well, if women could prophesy or pray, or why would they say, you know, be silent? One, it says without your covering, and your covering is your husband. And your husband, in this case, your cousin is your husband, and I can read a whole lot of translations that indicate that the covering, the head is their cover. You want to dishonor your head is your husband. So you go to 14, and that's what it's talking about. It's talking 14:35. Says women should. Well, this is from Open English Bible. But just for clarity, I don't think you would disagree with it. at the meetings of the church, married women should remain silent, for they are not allowed to speak in public. They would take a subservient place as it is directed by the law. But if they have any questions, to ask their husband when they go home. But that ask, well, that one thing of that ask is interrogate. So in this word ask means interrogate.
Because we're pressed for time. Let's go back to that. Now I don't know where you get that word ask means to interrogate.
Just from the song. You had that, don't you?
You talked about the women being allowed to pray and to prophesy. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. And it says Paul,
that's where we were.
Let's go down here to verse 12. Verse 11. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. In other words, you need to use these spiritual gifts, prophesying, speaking in other languages, interpreting other languages, use it for the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. He is addressing the spiritual gifts. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, when he's addressing these customs, he's talking about head covering and lengths of hair and that things of that nature. People were making they were taking it out of context, and they were binding these things on other people. Paul said, no, we take that out. We are not having that.
Well, he's also talking about praying and preaching or prophesying there, and how women should do it.
In 14,
it's saying it really means if you disagree with your husband, don't do it in public. Don't do it in
church.
That's not what it means.
He's telling
look
him,
up the word. Look up the word.
He's telling them point blank. Those who have husbands, ask your husbands at home.
That's what he's telling them.
Ask your husbands at home. Don't create a fuss in the church.
Remember, the church was in its infancy.
He was setting things in order, and he was allowing people to do things so he could show them how
That women could preach, pray, and prophesy in the beginning.
They had the ability. Those who had received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they had the ability to do it. But then Paul is setting these things in order in the first letter to the Corinthian church. He's setting these things in order in chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15. He's setting these things in order. He's addressing these things one by one.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, our understanding is in 11, it's saying that a woman has to be under authority under her husband as she preaches or talks or prophesies. In 14, it says that a married woman shouldn't disagree with her husband in public, but wait until she gets home.
Well,
and they say everything in line. Remember, this is one letter. If he wanted to change his mind, all he had to do was go back and erase it.
You are adding these things in there to justify. You're defining words that. That aren't there, changing the definition of words that aren't there, and to.
Are you talking about like the word "ad"?
Yeah,
the word "ad"
without looking it up would mean a request.
No, I didn't say without looking it up. I mean, with looking it up. All you have to do is go to Strong's Recording.
I have one right here. But, Elvis, we're in Georgia. Call back again. And okay. Hopefully,
thanks a lot. You've been real, hospital.
Okay.
What is your name?
My name is Larry.
Okay, Larry, yes, you did real well.
And the other one is.
I may call back. But there seems to be some discrepancy for a woman to step down out of the ministry. You know, she could use this 11:5 because women did preach.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot, Larry. Right. Have a good show and enjoy.
Take care. All right.
So, a couple of things here as we go back. I want to go back to what the whole discussion about the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts, and there. Okay. I thought that was a good discussion to have here. But we do have an Acts, and I'm looking for the chapter here that actually Stephen references. That Stephen had daughters who were prophetesses. So there were women had the ability in that time to prophesy. Men and women had the ability. But if you go back to John, now do they still have it today? No, they don't. If you go back and look in John chapter 16, Jesus is talking to his apostles, and this is right before he's going to be crucified. And he tells them, he starts talking about them, he tells them there's going to be a comforter. If you start in verse 5 of chapter 16 and work down there through that. He's talking about what's going to happen. You get to verse 12, he says, I have so many things more to say to you right now, but you can't bear them now. And Jesus says that he's going to send a comforter to them down in verse 15, and he will disclose it to the apostles, and that being the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is going to be given to them, and as we see bit by bit through the New Testament, up to a certain point, if you look at it kind of in terms of like a wave or kind of like a hill, a bell curve, it grows and grows and grows till you get to a certain point, and then it decreases. And we see like in the first, the majority of the New Testament, bit by bit, a little more is revealed. A little more is revealed in what capabilities they're going to have, and a little bit more is revealed about how to act within the congregation. A little bit more is revealed about what is acceptable and not acceptable. And then it's revealed that some of those things that were used are going to disappear. So if we look back in 1 Corinthians again, and we start talking about spiritual gifts and the use of spiritual gifts in verse 12, or chapter 12, and in chapter 13 and 14, it talks about that. Paul talks about that. Especially in verse 13, that if, you know, we could have all these different kinds of gifts. We could prophesy, but going down to verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. So when he's talking about we know in part and we prophesy in part, they're still getting bits and pieces of the word from God as it's being revealed to them. And then he says that, if you go down to verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we're going to see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have also fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide in these three, and the greatest of these is love. So we're going to be having eventually these gifts that are being used to spread the gospel are going to be going away. And we find when you come down to about 1st and 2nd Peter and Jude in that part, we see that the perfect, which is the Word of God, has fully been delivered, because we find in 1st Peter, sorry, let me get here. I'm sorry. That 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, says that seeing his divine power has granted us, at this point, we see that it says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So at that point, they had everything they needed to for life and godliness, to be saved, through the true knowledge of him. So they had what they needed for the knowledge of God, who has called us by his own glory and excellence. And then if you were to flip over to the book of Jude, you find that in Jude chapter, well, in Jude verse 3, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. And we see at this particular part of this point in the Bible that everything that we needed has been delivered to us, and now there's going to be no other additional revelation. You say, well, the book Revelation comes after that. Well, this is written about all about the same time, and there's no additional stuff needed after that.
Well, Paul also wrote in Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And this is the operative phrase here, as it is written. We have to be careful about translations that some of these later translations, because they are insert words in there that would slightly change the direction of the scripture. And some people, they don't recognize that these things are leading them astray, and they will hold on to it, and they'll find a way to make it so. But it is plain and simple.
Earlier I said we don't give you something unless we got a chapter and a verse for it. So I want to keep my part of the bargain on this. I had mentioned earlier that the Bible did talk about women who had the ability to prophesy. In this particular case, Acts chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it talks about Philip, who was the evangelist, had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. So the women had the ability to do it then, but the whole point being that even with these wonderful gifts that they had, they still had to subject themselves according to what God wanted and what he deemed a proper manner.
You know, and when God gave out these spiritual gifts to people other than the apostles, it was for a specific purpose. It was to prove his word, and it was to prove Christ. And once that was proven, as Ed read in 1 Corinthians 13:1-2, I believe it was, these things were to come to an end. When his word was complete, then those partial gifts were to come to an end. There would be no need for them anymore. And we have his word now complete, and it takes a constant and a continuous study to make sure that we use his word right and to apply it right. Now we're coming to the end of the program. We tomorrow we meet on the Lord's Day for the Lord, to worship God in spirit and in truth. The Bible classes are at 9:30 a.m. Worship service at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We will invite, like to invite everybody who has an opportunity to come and worship with us and be with us and see, how we do it according to the Lord's word. And it's plain and simple. There's no fanfare. We do exactly what God says, and with Bible study, we have Bible study for all ages, and you will, it will be a learning experience for you. Until that time, we bid you a good farewell.
Spirit 1400.
Breast cancer is a disease that affects